They give glory to the God of heaven. There is now a turning in this great earthquake, in which, having proved that life is always life and never dies, that the power of God is always present and never subservient to the laws of this world, all of the remnants of thought and belief in you become aware now that the only presence where you stand is the presence of Spirit, that God truly is all. And you could even look out upon the world and say, what is true here is true there. God truly is all where that individual stands, and that one, and that one. And in this proving period, I have discovered that only the spiritual presence being everywhere, only the spiritual power is everywhere. Only the perfection of Spirit is everywhere. I can truthfully relax in the consciousness that perfection is all that is here, that nothing can be wrong in the present universe of God. Wherever a wrong appears, it must be a lie. It must be an unreality, because only God is present. Only Spirit is there. Spirit being perfect in every way, that which appears to be wrong cannot be there. In this consciousness, for you, there is no riot at the college. There is no rapist running loose. There is no poverty or starvation. There are no things unlike God. That which is unlike God cannot have reality, for only God is there. How long this period of proving is going to take depends on your fidelity to the Word. 3.5 days, 3.5 years, 3.5 months, it makes no difference, 3.5 centuries. It is all a symbol of each one of us having to go through a period in which we climb above the perception of the senses, accepting the allness of God, and then not being content with words, with beliefs, with intellectual acceptance, this is Isaiah 27:13. About the trumpet. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. Now you see, the Assyria and Egypt is like Sodom and Egypt and Babylon. Those who had been in mortal mind, material consciousness, when they hear the seventh trumpet, they shall know the truth about God. And again, Daniel, in chapter 3, the 44th verse, makes reference to the trumpet. Can't find it for the moment. I'll have to pass it. This mystery of God given to us now is this. The seventh angel sounded,
There were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This is the realization and the experience of God where you stand as the substance, power, presence, and law of your being. This is the unification of that understanding that God is not confined to a world beyond this world, not confined to a place beyond this place, but that the Supreme Being is not supreme at all, but is actually the only inhabitant of the earth. With the seventh trumpet, you know that there is one infinite self, and it is I. There is no other being on this earth than God. All mortality is a lie. All materiality is a lie. You are completely awakened from the dream in the realization of God as the only living being. I and the Father are one. And in this moment of realization, there is no mortal you standing there. You have come out and you are separate. The mystery of God is the identity of every individual on the earth, not in their physical selfhood, not in their mortal selfhood, not in the visible image selfhood. You have crucified the human race. You have resurrected the Spirit of God that walks the earth in your consciousness. And at this point you stand in the first resurrection in the body of the Spirit that will never die. The mystery of God is that there never was a mortal being. God created none. There never was a physical being. God created none. There is only the life of God, and it is your life. And it does not begin and it does not end in any time or in any place. Your period of testing, which was to prove the presence of God as everywhere, becomes your new consciousness, and you are Christed. You are Christ John now instead of John. You are John realizing Christhood. And you are being prepared to walk on the earth in a spiritual form that will see the experience of death and not experience it itself. That form will never be touched by the nails of crucifixion. That form will never be touched by the virus of disease. That form will never be buried in a tomb. That form will never know the meaning of material law. It will never be caught in a rainstorm or a thunderstorm. It will never know an earthquake. It will walk free on earth in the kingdom of God. It will undergo the first resurrection, which never knows the second death. Now, the mystery of God, which is revealed with the seventh trumpet, is not a revelation of a future fact. It is the revelation of a fact that is now true. What you will discover is that which is true this moment. For God is all that was and is and ever will be. And you need not wait centuries for that realization and for that experience. The purpose of revelation is to reveal what is. And John, as a disciple of Christ, now reveals that Spirit is the only presence on the earth. And this is where and when he learned it. In this moment of high exaltation, when the seventh trumpet, or the seventh degree of his journey of soul through sense, released him out of the mortal dream. While he walked this earth as you and I walk at this moment, this didn't take place while he was sleeping. This didn't take place in a trance. This was a total change of consciousness in which all the trappings of the earth fell away. And he knew himself to be the living child of God, which we now are, but have not yet come into the understanding of. John is revealing there is one life in the universe, and it is divine. It is the life of God. And there is only a concept mortal body, which in the realization of the one life of God as your life, enables you to walk now here in your immortal body, in your perfect, immaculate spiritual body. And this is the experience foretold for each of us through the experiences of those who have attained the realization of that immortal body. It is interesting to note that of all the disciples of Jesus, only John, who wrote this revelation to our knowledge, walked out of the earth without a crucifixion. After Jesus, no crucifixion was ever necessary again. And only John attained that level of repeating the high understanding of self that made it possible to leave nobody behind. It can be done, but whether it is done or not is not the important fact. The important fact is to reach that level in which you do not believe that your life depends on this form. And when you know that your life is not encased in this form. And finally, when you know that in this form there is no life. The seventh trumpet revealed for John that there is no life in any material form on the earth. And that wasn't difficult to come by, because he knew there can be no life in a material form for a simple reason. There is no material form. He had come out of the image projection of mortal mind, and that is why he had the testing period to face mortal mind, to reveal its nothingness. And therefore, all that it projects into visibility is equally a nothing. And you will have these moments when you will be free of the belief that your life moves in a mortal form. You will see the great coincidence on a cosmic scale that makes form appear where only life is. Only recently we have introduced the idea to the class of resting in the awareness that I am not only in this room, but I, being spirit, am in the next room and the next and the next. And I can assure you that there was more power in that little suggestion than many of you have realized. So I'd like to practice it again right now, because I have discovered the power for myself of that exercise. We used to have the exercise of saying, look down at your feet and see you're not in them. If they cut off your feet, you're still here. Now come up to your knee and your thigh and your torso and your shoulders and so forth. And that was good. That was a good exercise. We worked it to death. Now we have this exercise. I think it does the job for us in a different way. There is the experience of knowing yourself as spirit, uncontained, free-flowing, one with the Father everywhere. And in the acceptance of yourself as spirit, you know that there is no place where you can say, this is me over there. Because spirit isn't that way. Once you have accepted spiritual identity, you have accepted what John has discovered, infinite spiritual identity. And so we'll make it easy. We'll forget infinity for a moment, but let's at least go into the other room. I am now in the other room, because spirit is there, and I am spirit. Right in the next room you are. You know you must be, because spirit is there, and that is your name. The acceptance of the omnipresence of spirit tells you that you must be in the next room. And there is a dwelling quietly in the realization that you are in the next room. There isn't a room in this house that you're not in. For spirit is in every room of this house. And you cannot divide yourself from it. Spirit is never separated from itself. You are in every room of this house. And in your home, you never left it. You are there now. There isn't a nook or cranny of your home where the spirit of you is not now present. Kitchen, the bathroom, the living room, the deck, the yard. You are there. Every inch of it is spirit, and you are there, for you are spirit. You must dwell with this a while. Until the truth of it makes itself known to your consciousness. And when you have this truth in consciousness, you have an invisible power of grace that will function where you stand. And where you stand is where your spirit is. Your spirit is in your home now. Your spirit is in this room now. Your spirit is below and above and beyond into infinity. Your spirit is everywhere now. There is no place where your spirit is not. No place in this entire universe where your spirit is not. That becomes your living consciousness. God is spirit, God is everywhere, God is all. I and the Father are one. I cannot separate from that one spirit which is everywhere and all. I am the one spirit that is everywhere and all. I'm not what I appear to be at all. The seventh trumpet has sounded for me too. I am infinite spirit. I am everywhere. My presence is the presence of spirit everywhere, and there is no other than that I that I am. That I, that spirit, I am. That is the new consciousness that will walk this earth as you. However long it takes to arrive at that place will not matter. You will arrive there. The sooner the better. And when you do, you're only beginning your adventure. That is only the beginning of the rebirth. For now, in the acceptance of infinite spirit everywhere as I, you may not deny that truth, or you are piercing the Christ of your own being. The moment you deny that you are that spirit which is everywhere, you're back among the dead and not among the living who walk in my name. But when you are willing to stand on the truth of infinite spiritual identity as your identity, you will discover that grace is automatic. It doesn't take any effort on your part to bring it into being. You don't have to push any buttons. It already is functioning in spirit. The moment you come over into spiritual acceptance, grace is functioning in the spirit that it ever was, which is your being. It is ready to make itself visible. It is ready to express in the outer as you in your inner acceptance. But you must be faithful to that identity. And the test will then be when anywhere on this earth a discord appears. It is denying that your spirit is there. You can accept that denial and you're playing the game of mortal mind. You can reject the denial. Discord cannot be there because my spirit is there. What else are you to do beyond that? Absolutely nothing. My spirit is there and it needs no defense. Are you going to say then, why don't I wipe out the war? Why didn't Jesus? You are not called upon to do the work of spirit. It will do its own work always. You are to witness the Spirit as your being and watch the Spirit perform its work. Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden. I will give thee rest. I will perform that which you are appointed to do. I will perfect that which concerneth thee. But be still and know that I am Spirit. That I am God, that I am omnipotent, that I am the life, the only life. and rest in the Word. And this resting in the Word becomes the way in which you accept spiritual identity. Because Spirit is your name, because you are home at this moment in Spirit, your knowledge of that is your fire insurance. Your knowledge of that is your accident insurance. Your knowledge of that is your flood insurance and your earthquake insurance. The presence of your Spirit, recognized and accepted, is the presence of God, the presence of omnipotence, the power of that Spirit functions in your acceptance of its universal nature as your being. That is the meaning of the Word made flesh. That is what is happening here to John. And everything that follows is a description of that great new dawning of the consciousness of infinite Spirit as your name, identity, and law. Whoever comes to this will discover that every promise in the Bible becomes true in that realization. You won't be concerned anymore about health, about supply. You won't see life and death. You won't see good health and bad health. You will not see the opposites. There are no possible opposites in spiritual identity. There's no love and hate. There's no truth and a lie. And in the acceptance of opposites, you deny spiritual identity. In the realization that opposites are impossible, you accept spiritual identity. Now, all the power you've been looking for is only in Spirit, and therefore only in your acceptance of infinite spiritual identity. There are no thieves on the earth for you. There are no murderers. There are no despicable people. There are no whites, blacks, reds, and yellows. There are no Catholics and Protestants and Jews and Muslims. There are no Republicans and Democrats. There are no nationalities. And if you will have the full truth, there is no male and no female. There is Spirit. In your acceptance of Spirit, that is all there is on this earth for you. There is no young and no old. There is one infinite Spirit, and each who comes into that identity is coming into the identity of the one infinite self that each of us is. The reason for this total acceptance of one infinite self is because it is the way in which you come into the first resurrection. It is the way in which you walk through death untouched. It is the way of the Christ. It is the way shown by the Master. It is either your way or it is not your way. And if it is not your way, then you cannot expect to be under the law of perfect Spirit. Spirit functions only within itself. And this little group here are among the few groups on this earth who are learning about the first resurrection, who are learning that they are going to walk in a spiritual form as they drop the belief in a material selfhood and rise in the recognition of Christ invisible everywhere where the world sees the opposite. Once this is done, everything falls into conformity. John describes that this way. And the 24 elders, which sat before God in their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God. These 24 elders are what he calls the fourth, fifth, and sixth heavens. And their seats represent the purpose of God. And each seat, you see, is just, each purpose is just a little closer to the infinite. And each elder is a host of angels. So that the total being bows within you in its acceptance of spiritual identity, worshiping only the presence of God as the only reality. All this is an inner experience. The total consciousness is coming under the realization that there is only one self, which is omnipresent and is called God, Spirit. I am. Saying, we give thanks, O Lord, God Almighty. Almighty is no longer for us just a casual word. Almighty means exactly what it says. Spirit is Almighty, and I can depend on it to be exactly that as long as I am walking as the Infinite Spirit, withholding spiritual identity from no man on earth. Meeting everything with my invisible Christhood. Everything. And resting in total confidence that only spirit being present, all that denies spiritual presence is a lie, without substance. Nothing need be done about it whatsoever. For the power of grace is functioning throughout the one spiritual identity which you accept. And that's how it is when all the elders fall on their faces. That means they accept one infinite self. The nations were angry and the wrath has come and the time of the dead that they should be judged. We were those dead who did not accept one infinite spiritual self. And that they should give reward unto the servants, the prophets, to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Actually then, this is a dying away of all of the concepts which deny one infinite spiritual self. We are purged of any contrary belief. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. When the ark of his testament is seen, we are reunited into the one will of the Father. The temple of God is opened in heaven. Through your acceptance of the one spiritual identity, you have inherited the earth. What you have accepted in heaven becomes the law for you on earth. For you, God is no longer an abstraction. God and your being are one and the same. Now, as this happens, maybe in a glimpse, maybe in a flash, maybe just for a moment, or maybe the awareness is so great that you are smitten like Paul. Your identity changes from Saul to Paul. You are blinded to everything mortal. or maybe somewhere in between, you come to the realization that if you're not walking in the truth of spiritual identity, you're living as a shadow. But somewhere, enough of the realization enters your consciousness, ultimately leading you to the full, unqualified acceptance of spiritual identity. There appears a great wonder in heaven at that point. A woman, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. It's taken quite a while to get to this place for John, for us. But once you have accepted the God of heaven as the God of earth, as the one identity of all being, heaven and earth become one for you. And that is when living revelation begins. When the word of the Father in you takes over the government of your complete being. We come under the government of God on earth. We are in the fourth dimension. We are no longer mortal beings, though we appear to be. We have accepted the fathership of God and sonship with the Father. The Son is always pure spirit as the Father, and in this acceptance, we now are ready to be fed by the infinite spirit. We are taken out of the laws of humanhood. We still walk the earth. We eat 2 or 3 square meals a day. We patronize the smart shops. But the song within our heart is the song of spirit. And the life we live is not the life of a person. It is the life of God expressing on earth as the life of His Son. And to that you remain true, so that you may be showing forth His glory, His will, His power, His intelligence, His love. There's nothing more on this earth for you to get. You have been made an heir to the kingdom. You are now empowered to give. All that you have, you can give. And give and give and give for His coffers of love and forgiveness and beauty and blessings are unlimited. And you will discover that as you find the joy of this, the power of this, the ability to look out and give your heart wherever it is needed, it is because God in you has become a living force of your being. That's how you recognize His presence. His love is flowing through you out to the world, fulfilling its own law. And until you feel it, you know you have not come to that place where you have accepted yourself to be living spirit. But if you have, the woman appears, who is the sign of the birth of the self-revealing word in you. It seems that we've gone quite a distance, and yet we're only beginning the 12th chapter of John. And so, it appears to us that we will be given an opportunity to consolidate our progress, to undergo certain tests, to expand, to come to a place where we can, with John, I hope not vicariously, but with John, in the experience of truth, witness the birth of the kingdom of heaven and earth in us. Next week we're going to discuss the birth of revelation on the earth, which is the 12th chapter. What you might do for yourself is this. You will find that as you practice that you are in another room, in another house, in another city, something's taking place that's very beautiful. My own experience with it went this way. Unconsciously, you are being released from world thought, you see. Because that certainly isn't world thought. And as you're released from it without realizing it, there is a new channel of awareness that seems to take over. And unknowingly, you have accepted yourself to be no longer confined to a place or even a time. You might receive a phone call, and this might happen to you as it did to me. I don't remember particularly what the event was, what was wrong at the other end, but as the phone rang and the voice said something, the words were spoken into me, "I am here." And yet there was another part of me that recognized those words as not meaning I physically am here, but it meant I am here, I spirit am here where the call is coming from. And yet all of that was myself. There was that unconscious, immediate understanding that I am here where the call is emanating from. And without taking thought. And then from this you will find other things taking place, and you will begin to understand why someone somewhere seeking you finds you right there where they are, without you even knowing about it. Really, without you knowing about it, because you were practicing the infinite nature of your consciousness. And the infinite nature of your consciousness is such that it is at every letterbox in the world. And a person can put a letter in that box, and your consciousness there, without you knowing it, can answer the problem. If you are faithful to working in the consciousness of the infinite self. Now that won't be a steady thing. People don't just put letters in boxes and your consciousness there will meet them every time. But it is enough evidence for me that when Joel said it was true, it wasn't true only for Joel. It was true for anyone who will practice what he taught. And John, you see now, having reached the point where he has accepted himself to be the infinite spiritual self, is going to be able to fulfill the greater prophecy, "If you believe on me, the works that I do you shall do, and greater works." And so John is going to show forth those greater works. He's going to walk out of a form without the experience of death. And for us, the greater works will have to be whatever spirit has in mind. But as you practice this, you'll see that being absent from the body and present with the Lord is really a normal consciousness of one who wishes to walk in truth and identity. It doesn't take standing on your head. And it doesn't take any special capacities It doesn't take any special chapters to be read. It takes this simple little practice that I have outlined to you. And then you find that the infinity you have accepted as your being begins to feed itself into this so-called form. That which you acknowledge out there begins to send back to you that acknowledgement. The bread you cast out upon the waters comes right back to where you appear in a form. But you see, that infinity you acknowledge is a different power than anything you may have acknowledged up to that point. And its power coming back is the expressed will of the Father, backed by the all-knowing and the all-power of the Father where you stand. Now, we're all walking toward that. Some of you are already experiencing the power of that infinite self. And now, when you can experience being not in a form, but being a spiritual identity, not localized, but the Spirit, the one and only Spirit which is everywhere, through your practice of it, you'll begin to see grace beyond the imagination of a mortal being. Looking forward to a great experience for each of us as we continue to practice these immortal truths handed to us by John through the Christ. Thank you now.